welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. As the head of corporate strategic planning and management for Wells Fargo, Amy Downey and her team are focused on the company's strategic direction and organizational design, two crucial elements of a company's success. One of the top strategic imperatives for Wells Fargo is digital transformation, not only in its own operations, but also for the clients they serve. On today's podcast, Amy shares how Wells Fargo implements digital transformation and the ways the company can harness employee engagement strategies to make this transformation a success. She's joined by Emmett Higdon, Director of Digital Banking at Javelin Strategy and Research, who will also dive into how organizations should approach digital transformation with their employees. Amy, many companies are in the middle of their own digital transformation, and much has been discussed and written about these efforts. But something that you're focusing on and that hasn't been discussed is the employee engagement aspect of this transformation. To start things off, how do you define digital transformation? And can you give us an overview of how to approach digital transformation with employees?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. Digital transformation has many definitions. And I think the essence of the definition is really about delivering to customers in a way that they want to be handled. So if you think about how consumers, right, can get anything that they want right on the spot. Everything is customized. Everything is on one page. And there's really a blend happening of both consumers and companies of expecting the same on-demand, hyper-personalized approach to their banking needs and all their needs, but from where I sit, from their banking needs. And so the digital transformation is really about how do you take what we do here and have every person and company feel like it's customized to them, even if it's not, but it is appearing that way, specific to needs. So I would say in terms of the employee engagement piece, and this is something I do feel very passionate about because I've seen at different companies where this is often the sort of last thought. And in fact, it really should be the first. And employee engagement is such a critical part of transformation in that if you think about it, so there's an article I was reading, a Harvard Business Review article. It was called How Companies Can Improve Employee Engagement. There's two ways that employees want to engage. One is they want to know that their work is connected to a larger purpose, a higher purpose, and they want to make sure that their work is not very stressful and enjoyable. And I would say, if you think about those, neither of those say money, neither of those say, give me a pizza lunch on a Friday. These are, I want to come in every day and know that I'm doing something. It's a good use of my time, right? Especially coming out of the pandemic, we've been out of it for a bit, but the idea of I want to know that I'm spending a lot of time with everyone at work, that it's connected to a higher purpose, and that I'm doing something meaningful. And so times of change are highly stressful, right? So I would say that that's really important in terms of making sure that that's, if you're doing two or three things in a big transformation, you know, one of the top three has to be how are you dealing with the employee base.
And then any thoughts on your end?
I couldn't have said it better myself, Amy, in terms of that we often think of the employees as the last step in the process. Okay, all the work's done. Now let's communicate it internally. Well, how do you think the work got done, in the first place? It's the most critical resource, but we often think of these digital transformations as something that is an IT job, or it's all about just the programming or what have you. No, and it involves absolutely every department in the company. I often tell my banking clients today, let's just stop calling it digital banking. It's just banking. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how we do banking today is digital. And we need to transform every aspect of how we go to market with consumers today to meet those enormous expectations that they have. I mean, you mentioned on-demand, hyper-personalized. It's just the way we go to business, the way we do business today in many verticals, including banking.
Yeah. And Emmett, I would just add to that, to your exact point, one of the things we're focused on digital for sure, right? And we've got to transform to make sure we're meeting customer needs, but there's always an aspect of a human interaction. I think that's also, we think about employees, there's always going to be a human interaction where many, many years ago, when I was working also at a bank, there was a discussion about, branches, they're going away and ATMs are the future. Well, look at where we are. We still are very much.
They're still around.
People want to talk to people. And I would say, actually, if you think about a bank at Wells Fargo, like of our size, that interaction with a human being is still really important to customers. They want to know that they're dealing with someone on the other side. So part of a digital transformation for employees is also taking a bit of the fear factor out. Is we're not meeting with you so that we can figure out how to, you know, have that job go away. It's really about how do you interact with the technology in a way that's sort of 1 + 1 = 3. And that's, I think, to the point of employee engagement, it's about what's the burning platform. It's how do you get customers what they need, both physical and digital, right? Both human interaction, and so that they can get approved for something really quickly because they need that money to fund something that they need, you know, to get done. So I think to your point, it's about also taking the fear out, knowing that the employees are the face of the change and they're really critical to it.
Amy, I'm curious about skill gaps. Not everyone is skilled at some aspects of operating and servicing in a digital first or a digital only environment. How do companies address skill gaps?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And again, I think this is part of when we are talking about employee engagement is skill gaps can actually, when you talk about them broadly, for example, again, we have over 200,000 employees. There's lots of different jobs here. It's not one size fits all. We're not saying that everyone tomorrow has to learn how to program to be part of a digital transformation. What we're saying is you need, based on your role, to be either aware or to have a bit more knowledge, or it may be that your role actually does require a significant skill enhancement. And so when you think about a bank, our basic offering are financial products, right? To meet whatever financial problems you're having, whether you're a person or you're a giant company, how do we help you solve your financial problems? So the way we look at it here is really product transformation, right? In terms of there's really four skills that are important for that. One is knowing the financial product really well, whether it's a mortgage or a treasury product. The second is knowing data, right? And how data works and how customers interact with that data. The third is really understanding the technology, which is part of the digital transformation that everyone, I think, thinks of first. And then the last I would say is really having followership and leadership. That is something actually, as we again deliver to customers, it's got to be about how you leverage across the whole enterprise of the bank, not necessarily just folks that are working for you, but across the company, because customers don't care how Wells Fargo or Bank of America or any bank is set up. They want to know that whatever they need, they can get, and they can get it through one set of directions. So I would say here, what we're doing is we're looking at, based on your role, which part of that do you really need to upskill? And by the way, we're not saying good luck, because again, it's a little daunting to say, go and find a class on your own that might help you in your job. We're saying, here's some resources. Here's an academy. You know, here's, especially on the technical side, right? I would say that's probably the area where it's hardest to figure out. Do I go and get another master's on AI? Or do I just need to read an article? How do I learn for the job that I play? And so we, you know, I would say offer courses, offer coaching, offer, there's lots of experts, you know, offer some shadowing and some apprenticeship. So that's how you fill those skill gaps. And again, you want to show the employees that you're, for anyone that wants to come along, that you're willing to help them come along. Again, if you're not willing to come along, that's a different story. But if you want to make the change, we're here to help you make the change.
I think that's really well said, Amy. And you mentioned the hard skills, AI, programming, what have you. I think it's also super important sometimes the softer skills in this kind of a rapid change environment. Those who are very good with dealing with change, communications skills, those are critical at this time. Helping folks understand, you mentioned the interplay between different departments. That's more critical today than it ever has been. Understanding those shared goals in terms of how, if I mess up something in my area, that's got downstream impacts. And when you're working from the classic burning platform model, as you mentioned earlier, there's no time for these disconnects between the departments. Everything has to mesh like gears together, or it's simply not going to work.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Emmett. I would say we work actually with a professor here, Robert Siegel from Stanford, who wrote the Brains and Brawn book. If you've come across that, it's called How Leading Organizations Blend the Best of Digital and Physical. And the whole idea of the brains and brawn are that, exactly to your point, brains take you so far, right? You can upskill and become the world-class expert on whatever topic, but you also have to have the brawn, meaning the courage and the leadership and the ability to influence. And to your point, moving from, you know, a waterfall environment, which is what we're trying to do again across the whole company, from, you know, moving from waterfall to agile does mean all of these groups have to operate all the time in a fluid way where they're reliant on each other, right? It's no longer let me work on it here and then I'll hand it over to tech and tech will work on it and then they'll give me a product and then maybe I'll bring it over to this department. It's very much a daily stand up, you know, move quickly. So if you don't have those influence skills, it doesn't matter, right, how great you are in terms of the technical skills.
Amy, you've covered this a bit already, but I want to dig a little deeper specifically into the engagement aspect of it all. Much of the time when we think of skills, we think of hiring for the skills that we need. But what about people who have been with a company for a while? How do you get them to engage?
Yeah, no, it's a really great question. And in fact, I would say there's two ways. The first is don't discount the long tenured employees, right, that they're not willing. I think there's maybe sometimes an assumption that is put in immediately to say, look, we'll have to bring in some new folks or whatever to make sure that this change can happen. But honestly, the folks who've been around and at Wells Fargo, right, we're a 171-year-old company. There's some folks who've been around a very long time in a great way, and they've seen the ups and downs, the economic cycles, the different leaders. I have learned more in my 3 years at Wells Fargo from long tenured employees than I have from any of the newer folks in terms of what went wrong. Like, what did you try? What went really well? What did you try? And again, circumstances change, so you can try things again. But I would say don't discount the input. Actually, it's rich with history and learnings. And in fact, lean in to those who are long tenured. And again, if there's a role that, again, maybe someone has part of that skill set, take a chance on a long tenured person before you bring in someone new, because again, that's part of the change is showing the organization that you're bringing them along. If you bring in all new people, then you're basically saying, we're going to reset everybody, right? If you're actually bringing a portion along, or even as many along that are willing to make the change and able to make the change, that's the way to do it. And I think the way that you bring people, right? Because again, change, everyone has their own feeling about change. And just, I always say, remember, these are human beings who want to have jobs, want to work, and want it to be a meaningful way to spend their time every day. We spend more time with our work colleagues than our family. So it better be a good use of my time to be at work every day. It's what's the burning platform? Show case studies as far as like specific examples of why the change is a good idea. Give examples of where it was successful. I think the idea of data, right? Showing what employees or what either employees or customers have said, this is what we want. And there you go, right? It's not an opinion. It's not a new leader came in and wants to just kind of change for change's sake. It's this is where we're going because our customers want it, right? So really advertising based on data and based on examples is, I think, some of the ways you bring people along.
I think one of the other important things that those long tenured employees bring to the table is a much, much wider perspective. Horizon to be able to look at things. There's the old yarn about if all you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. And that wider perspective is very important. I remember when I was managing mobile strategy at TIA Cref, I had a younger gentleman in his 20s who was meeting me for the first time, and he said, "Oh, really? A guy of your age managing mobile? That's great." As if it's like patting me on the head. But you know, when you've been around for a while, you can look at that tool and see many different opportunities, many different ways to use that tool. You've been around the block a few times. You've seen what doesn't work. And I've always looked at technology as a wonderful enabler and a great thing to look at. That's really cool. What can we use that for? Like generative AI right now. Mm-hmm. It's a panacea. Not really, but let's figure out the best ways to use that technology. And I think sometimes the longer tenured employees are a great resource for that.
Yeah, and Emmett, you know, you raise a good point about the various generations actually contribute in a different way. And part of where, you know, how do you also embrace the folks who are coming, you know, or the newest generation coming out, and how do they embrace learning and embrace sort of what they're trying to get out of the job in the workforce? And that's also, it's really about engaging employees where they are at all levels, right? And again, embracing their feedback and their input. So I, to your point, when I was at Bank of America in the global treasury group, we had a set of changes where we were looking again to make it much more forward and innovative, and payments innovation and, you know, instant payments and leaning in that way. And so we went around the country and the world and did small focus groups with 8 to 10 people and said, here's what we're thinking. What do you think, right? What do you think based on your experience, whether you're brand new to the company, brand new to the workforce, or you're long tenured in the company or long tenured in terms of the workforce? And basically we would ask them questions and we got a good amount of insights out of that. But I would say more important than any of the insights we got was, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for making me part of it. I feel like I'm part of that digital transformation. That makes me committed. That makes me committed to you as leaders, but also you as a bank, that you actually cared enough to ask me.
I love your comment about meet employees where they are. We often speak of that in terms of digital channels, in terms of meeting customers where they are. But to your point, it's equally important to meet employees where they are, or at least to understand the different perspectives.
Right. You want them to come along with you, Emmett, to exactly to your point. People want to be recognized for their individual position, wherever they are in life and what they're concerned about, worried about, and what they have to offer. And so really, you know, honing in on that is huge. It's just an electronic survey doesn't do that. You know, you've got to get in front of people and just get that done that way. In person, nothing, there's no substitute for in person, which is why when I meet with employees about digital changes, I've said, look, we're here with you in person, right? So clearly in person is still really valued, but not only by our leaders, but also by our customers. So we're, again, trying to show you how do you integrate the way, again, I'd say I have two sons. I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old, and they embrace combining everything and integrating everything together. So on the phone with friends, doing a, you know, video game, they've got like people in the room, they've got some people on this chat thing, and it's all about integrating everything together seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So the way that we do that is making sure we, you know, let employees know we value both.
I mean, I think you've really touched upon that in every organization. There are supporters and then there are detractors. How do you approach each, you know, during a digital journey?
It's a great question. I think, Emmett, you and I have both had experiences with that.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite questions.
Right. I would, you know, so I'll start by saying there's two sides of that. I think for the folks that are real supporters, highlight them, reward them. You know, something, the idea of a change champion, right? By business, by region, by market, give people recognition to say, look, this is the behavior that we want and reward. And we appreciate when folks have really stepped up to say, look, I'm going along, come along with me. On the other hand of the detractors, again, I do think you need to spend a bit of time understanding why. Is there a worry about my job? Is there a worry about my skill set? Get to the heart of it, right? Really understand, don't give up too quickly. After you've done, though, quite a bit of that and spend some time investing, I also firmly believe in at some point you move on. At some point, you know, you don't want to be spending. They say, you know, managers can spend up to a day a week with employees who aren't going along with a change or not performing. That's not a great use of time, right? At some point, you do want to say, okay, it's time to move on and have that honest discussion to say, look, if you're not in, then that's fine. Let's find the right place and the right role for you that might not be as impacted. So what would you say, Emmett? I think you had a...
Yeah, there. No, absolutely. I guess we often spend more time focused on the detractors.
Right.
Or what I sometimes call the distractors. There's a lot of value to detractors. You need to understand. And I think you had made the point earlier about they want to be heard. They want to make sure that, you know, they're not being ignored. You know, I've got a problem with this and I want to be heard about why this is a problem. Very fair. You know, it's why this feedback loop is so critical during these transformations. Help that person be understood and make sure their voice is heard, but also make it clear that you know, this is where we're going. You can't allow the detractors to derail things, to become a continual disturbance or a distraction, as you were saying. And most times it doesn't, but that's why, you know, flexibility and the ability to deal with change is so important, because this is it's a cliche, but it absolutely is a journey. It's not, and most times it doesn't have a fixed timeline. You know, the corner office would perhaps like it to have a fixed timeline, but you're going to run into problems, issues, et cetera. Celebrating those wins that we talked about just a little bit ago. Doesn't have to be a monster win. It's, for me, it's more about celebrating progress, showing that we're not stalled, that we are getting somewhere, that we are making a difference. That's what really keeps people energized, and keeping the team energized, as you well know, Amy, is one of the most critical things, because it can be exhausting. This continual pattern of change. You know, your job, you mentioned that the shift from waterfall to agile, you feel like you're never done. You know, right. In the quote unquote, in the old days, you can be like, oh, thank God, we can all sit back and relax now. Our piece is done. Your piece is never done. You know, you just need to get used to that now. It's tough.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I think the key to all of this is communication, whether it's one-on-one with a detractor / distractor. I agree with you on that. Whether it's one-on-one to say what's behind this, right? Yeah, manager to employee. Sure. Or whether it's in many town halls talking about where are we? Why is it better for you? When we're talking about giving managers sort of communication packets to say, here's some great news of what's coming. Let's hand it out. So it's all about those levels. But I do agree with you that part of it is the change fatigue absolutely can happen. And I think making sure you acknowledge it, that change isn't easy, but that at the end of it, although it never does end, but hopefully in segments, you'll see benefits. You'll see benefits to your customers where they're happier about what you can offer to them. You'll see benefits in your day-to-day life at work, hopefully, where it's easier to get things done, right? So we talk about here both employee and customer onboarding, right? And again, at a company of our size and our regulatory scrutiny, there's a lot of steps, a lot of pieces of paper, a lot of signatures. And for example, here, we're saying, look, let's consolidate. Let's consolidate what was 10, you know, what used to be 10 pieces of paper for a client to sign, and let's make it one. And that's actually something here that was a to-do, because it became employees have to interact with a new set of technology to make that happen. But gosh, our customers are really happy, and now our salespeople are happy. And so generally, there's a happiness sort of factor that goes through. So I think showing those little wins, whether they're big or little.
And that can be contagious, for sure.
Exactly.
But not everything goes according to plan. I think it's okay. We talk about celebrating wins. I think it's equally important to talk about what went wrong and why. I think it's okay to say, yeah, okay, we tried that. That didn't work. Admitting that there is no one perfect plan for this. It's going to have twists and turns to it, and that's okay.
Right. No, that's very fair. That's very fair.
And also helping people understand when you're trying to make change of this level, this big a change, those mistakes are going to happen. You need to let people, particularly younger employees, don't. My son is about the same age, a little bit older than your kids, Amy. They are scared to death of making a mistake. Younger generations often don't understand. That's simply how we move forward. Not everything is going to go perfectly. It's okay to make a mistake, but we have to take a look at it, learn from it, and then move forward.
Right.
That's an important skill.
Yeah, Emmett, you know, one of the things that you just sparked one last thought on this in terms of the digital transformation is we recently had a meeting because our team, you know, looks after strategy, which is very related to the innovation team. We're closely linked with the innovation team. And we met with the Google, you know, the Google folks, and we talked about the culture of innovation. And to your point, how do you make sure that fast failure in a limited way with limited risk, right? You don't want to be out there in public or doing any damage to any customers financially or anything like that. But if you're trying things out, it should be okay to fail fast and then try the next thing. And I think that's part of where, as a bank, it's not necessarily in our nature to allow that, right? Yeah. And I think you said the new generation as well. So what we're working on is how do we sort of ring fence use cases and, you know, again, let's have a long tenured employee work on one of those again and ring fence where it's not in production, it's not even seen by clients, and try something out and see how much better it could be. And then to your point, maybe some of it works and we deploy it, some of it doesn't, and we just let it go. But we've learned from that. So that's, I think, part of also back to our point around how employee engagement is engage in the testing, engage in the trying of things out, engage in the use cases, ask for what would your clients like to see, and let's maybe figure out how we try something out with them that's, again, very safe, but engage in the sort of development process that then you don't even know you're necessarily changing, but you are because you're part of that process.
As we come to an end, I just wanted to circle back and touch upon something that really stood out was that engagement aspect that you both spoke about, like keeping employees engaged. But I'm wondering what can be done if not enough people are engaged in this change? Is there a strategy that you can communicate to them? What are some best practices?
It's such a good question. I, again, think that communication, I know, is a repeated word here, but it's such an important one in that go in with facts and go in with stories and go in with examples. And Evan, I like how you put it, the good examples and the bad examples, what worked and what didn't, all along the way on an ongoing basis, and continually make sure people know the Burning platform, that it isn't a passing change, that again,
not we have new,
new leader X came in and they want to do it this way. It's not that, and you don't have, and you can't wait it out, right? It's actually a Burning platform that is important to the customers to get done. And especially when you think of digital and the world we're in, again, that's the Burning platform. But I do also think that if there's a portion of folks that are not engaged, it's really focusing in on that population and saying why and how and what do we need to do with that particular population. Anything that's general to me has never really worked well in painting a whole sort of not enough people, but which people and why? And are they a particular group that might actually be impacted by this change from a job perspective? Well, then of course they're not as excited about it. And how do you, again, bring them along maybe in a more targeted way to say, for your role, this is how you can help us change and you can make the change with us so you don't have to worry, you know, as much as you probably are. So I think it's really about being specific with communications and role clarity for certain jobs. What would you add to that, Emmett?
I think communication is the number one thing. We look at just the way that an agile process works. You have your morning huddles, your morning stand-up meetings. It's communicating at every step along the way. It's not just a milestone communication and here's a 40-page PowerPoint deck. It might be a five-minute discussion every morning. So things that are minor ripples in the flow don't become a tsunami down the road because we've ignored it this long. If you don't have a substantial level of engagement, Rima, it's, you know, you need to recognize that very early on. If you're far down the road and you don't see much engagement going on, then you've missed it at several steps along the way. And that's where that constant communication can help you keep people engaged, keep people on board.
Amy, Emma, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your insights and perspective. So much to walk away from, and especially as organizations are trying to figure out their own digital transformation strategies.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Emmett, for the conversation. Really appreciate you having me.
It was a wonderful conversation.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and your perspectives. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.